The Messages, a podcast of First Baptist Church of Laurel, Maryland, teaching you to love God, love our neighbors, and love the nations. Here's Pastor Brent Brewer.
We are actually in a series called 50 Days of Transformation. Last week, we talked about transforming your health, and we followed that up with cookies in the lobby. What's up with that? No. All right. That's for pastor appreciation. All right. So don't get used to that. So maybe next week we'll have like Sudoku puzzles out there or something. All right. Because today we're talking about changing your mind and how our minds need to be transformed. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles or your phone apps. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to be there in just a few moments, all right? Philippians chapter 3. I want to start off by showing you a picture today, all right? Here's a picture of a brain, all right? That's not my brain, it's a brain, all right? My brain's probably smaller than that. But this actually weighs about 3 pounds. It has about 200 billion nerve cells, and the consistency of your brain, my brain, is like jelly. And there are literally trillions of connections going on in the brain all the time. Here's another picture just to kind of give you an idea of some of the connections. If you are a woman, you probably have thousands of these connections going on. If you're a man, you probably have 2 or 3. All right. So why do I bring this up? Because we are talking about our minds being spiritually transformed. When you come to Jesus and you say, Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior, come into my life. When you come to Jesus like that, He wants to change every facet of your humanity. And part of that change includes your mind. Something changes in your mind and the way things work inside of that. Now, I want you to notice what I didn't say. I didn't say that thing changes. Wouldn't that be kind of cool? You come to Jesus and your IQ goes up by 50 points. If that actually happened, there'd be lots of people lining up to come to Jesus. Nothing physically changes, but there's something radical that happens in your mind and in my mind when we come to Jesus. I want to sum up everything I want to say in one sentence. Here's where we're going today. God is far more interested in changing your mind than in changing your circumstances. God is far more interested in changing your mind than in changing your circumstances. We want God to change our circumstances. We want Him to take away all of our problems, all of our pain, all of our suffering, all of our sickness. And God says, yeah, I know that's really important, but what I'm really concerned about is I'm concerned about what's happening in you. I'm far more interested in changing your mind than I am in changing your circumstance. Because nothing really happens in life until your thoughts, till my thoughts begin to change. So here's the first point for today. Why must I transform my mind? I think we probably could do this on our own. We could probably skip this point. But I'm going to go ahead and just talk about it for a minute. All right, why must we transform our mind? Because my thoughts control my life. Every single action that you and I have begins as a thought. If you don't think it, you don't do it. If it's a good thought, you're going to do good. If it's a bad thought, you're going to do bad. But my thoughts control my life. Proverbs 4:23 says this, "Be careful how you think, because your life is shaped by your thoughts." If you accept the thought that when growing up somebody said to you, and some of you I know have had people say things like this to you, and I'm sorry they said these things to you, but somebody may have said to you something like this, you're worthless, you're no good, you don't matter, you're ugly, you're uncoordinated. If you accept the fact, whether it was right or it was wrong, it shaped your life. And we're interested in our feelings, but feelings really don't shape your life. Your beliefs do. And it doesn't even have to be true. If you believe it, it's going to shape your life. What am I trying to say? A lot of things that perhaps you were taught as a kid about you just weren't true. And years later, you're still acting on false information. So here's what we're going to be talking about today. Be transformed by the way you think. Here's the second thing I'm going to give you, because the mind is a battleground for sin. That's why we need to have our minds transformed. Sometimes we think temptation is out there. I don't go to bad places. I don't do bad things. I don't put bad things into my body. That's where the real battle is. But really, it all starts in your mind. It wouldn't tempt you if there wasn't a corollary desire within you. All temptation happens in your mind, really, between your ears. So when we talk about the sins of pride or lust or bitterness or hatred or anger or fear or resentment or envy, any of those things, they're all in your mind. And if you and I can learn how to manage our mind, we've learned how to manage our life. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. I want to give you this passage, Romans 7. I'm going to get to Philippians in a minute. Romans 7 says this, "For in my inner self, I agree with God's law." You might be sitting there right now and say, "Yeah, I believe the Bible. I agree with God's law. I believe what it says." That's what Paul says. But then he says, "I see a different law in the parts of my body. It's waging war against the law of my mind. It's taking me prisoner to the law of sin." What's basically Paul saying here? He says, there's a battle in your brain. And one of the reasons you get mentally fatigued and I get mentally fatigued is because there's a battle in your brain. It's going on 24 hours a day. Sometimes you're conscious of it, sometimes you're not. And the reason why it's going on and it's debilitating is because it's intense. Because your mind's a battleground. You need to understand that. Jesus, he wants to have that brain and use it for his glory. But guess what? Satan wants to get a hold of it. He wants to mess you up. He wants to twist you all around. He wants you to not be thinking thoughts about God. He wants you right now to be thinking a whole bunch of other thoughts to get your attention. So we manage our mind because it's a battleground for temptation. Well, here's where I really want to get today. Number two, how do I transform my mind? How do I do it? Well, first of all, let me give you this. Our minds must be focused on heavenly things. Now we get to Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to walk you through this passage. Look at verse 17. Paul says this, "Join in imitating me, brothers, and observe those who live according to the example you have in us." There are people, he says, who are good examples of life and godliness. Keep your eyes on them. Follow their example. Godly parents, godly teachers, godly friends, follow their example. Why? Look at verse 18. "For I have often told you, I say again with tears, that many live as enemies." Some of you know this. There are people that live around you. Maybe there's some here today that are enemies of the cross of Christ. But I want you to notice something. Paul, he can't talk about this without tears. Paul can't talk about the fact that people are lost. They aren't going to heaven. They don't have new life. They don't have freedom that's found in Christ. And Paul says this, "When I think about them, I'm moved." Can I ask you this question? Are you moved? Join him in following his example. When he thinks about people who don't know Jesus, he's moved by that. Wednesday morning, I got to the office early, started checking my emails, my Facebook, all the messages, and I had this message from a young man who I poured my life into him. Far from God, he moved out of the area. He now lives in Iowa. He played basketball for me, so we're really united. He said this to me. He says, "Coach, I want to tell you, after all the wrestling and thoughts," he's only like 17 or 18 years old, he says, "last night I found God. I really found God. Here's how it happened, and here's what it looked like." And in some ways I had to say, "Did that really just happen?" But God got a hold of him. And his mind is being transformed. Can I ask you, do you ever weep for people who don't know Jesus? Weeping turns to prayer. Prayer turns to action. Action turns to invites and love and gospel. That's Paul. That's why he's weeping. Verse 19, he says this about those people. He says, "Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. They're focused," and here's our point, "on earthly things." Their minds are focused on earthly things. Now, can I just say this to you this morning? You do have to think about some earthly things if you're going to live in this world. But our mind doesn't have to be focused on them. When I was age 19, I was focused on something. I'm going to give you a picture of it. That was my first car. What a cool car, right? There was a company, some of you never heard of them. It was called Pontiac. And this was not a Sunfire. Don't offend me by saying this was a Sunbird. All right? I love this car. I had it for many years. And you know, it's fine to think about cars. It's fine to think about earthly things. But here's the thing. You don't want your mind focused there. And it doesn't even need to be things that are sinful, even though it could be that. A lot of things are fine in and of themselves. They're just not wise to have our mind set on them. Things like cars and music and the stock market and travel and fashion and girlfriends. There are people whose mind are just always focused on those things. And here's what's missing in that picture. Jesus, God, things of heaven. I mean, what did you think before you came to Christ? You mainly focused on earthly things. And if our minds are always focused on earthly things, it's my vacation and my car and my house and my spouse and my kids and my grandkids. Those are all wonderful things, but our minds shouldn't always be there. I'm going to show you another picture here. This is a picture of the Italian poet Dante. Maybe you've read his Divine Comedy. This poet, the second part of that is called Purgatorium. Purgatory. Now, there's no such thing as purgatory in the Bible, but Dante wrote about this in his poem. And he said this. He says, one level of purgatory is for the covetous. And here's what he said. He says, their penalty to redeem them from their covetousness, they are bound and they have to lie face down on the earth. In other words, can you imagine all day looking at dirt? He goes, that will release them and redeem them from their covetousness. See, that illustrates the idea face down, looking at earthly things. But as a Christian, our face shouldn't be down. Our face should be where? It should be up. We should be looking up. A Christian has their mind on heavenly things. Now, I know we have to think of other things, but the Christian's mind is set on heavenly things. I have to pay my bills. I have to fix my car. I have to pay attention at my job. But maybe you're there, you're working at your job, and all of a sudden, this thought of God comes into your mind. What do? You look up. Thank you, God, for health. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for a good job. Thank you for a nice house. And then you better start putting your head down again because you're going to lose your job, right? If your mind's up all the time, your boss is saying, get your head down there. But sometime during our day, our minds ought to go up. One of our members, I visited with them on Thursday morning. She's in hospice. She doesn't have long to live. I was sitting there with her reading scripture, and she said this to me. She goes, Pastor, would you just talk to me about heaven for a little bit? Oh boy, I want to go there. I want to talk. I want to revel in that. I want my mind to go on heavenly things. Can I ask you this? Is your mind ever set on heavenly things? Here's the second thing I want to look at this morning. We must understand, if we're going to have a transformed mind, that we have the mind of Christ. Where do I get this? 1 Corinthians 2:14. The unbeliever does not welcome what comes from God's Spirit. It's foolishness to him. He's not able to understand. It is evaluated spiritually. We have to ask ourselves, what are some of the things that comes from God's Spirit? Is it cars? Nah. Clothes? Money? No. Those aren't coming from God's Spirit. What comes from God's Spirit? It's Jesus. It's grace. It's heaven. It's salvation. It's the glory of God. And this passage says, those things are foolishness to some people. Some of you might be here. You might have friends and coworkers. You start talking about the Bible. They see you reading a Bible. They see you coming to church. They might say, you believe that? Like, you got to be kidding me. This passage says the unbeliever is not able to understand, not because there's a difference in the gray matter in their mind and your mind. Here's why. What's going on in their brain is not connected to their heart. It says they are not evaluated spiritually. In other words, they don't have the aptitude. They don't have the readiness until the Spirit of God invades their soul and awakens their mind and their heart to the things of God. So let me illustrate this for you real quick. Here's two people sitting in this room right now. One person is sitting there saying this, yes, I want my mind set on the things of God. Yes, this is what I love. This is what I long for. The person maybe sitting beside them is saying, I can't wait to get out of here. What is this all about? Why do these people come and listen to this guy? Why is there such a difference? Because the Spirit of God has invaded the soul of one to receive and love and act on the things of God, and he hasn't invaded the other one. So what's our prayer for you? Our prayer is that the Spirit of God will invade you, that the Spirit of God will come to you. And if you look in verse 15 and 16 here of this passage in 1 Corinthians 2, it says, the spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything, yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. For who has known the Lord's mind? Have you? I haven't. Do you know God's mind? I don't have a clue. But it says, we have the mind of Christ. Now, can I be honest with you? I don't really understand what that means, that I have the mind of Christ. But I know it means something profound. I mean, think about this. The mind of Christ, he's God. How much does he know? Yeah, all. He knows everything. Do you know all? All right? I don't even know what I'm having for lunch in an hour. All right? Much less what's going to happen next week or next month or next year. But the scripture says, if I'm in Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? It may be something like this. We have a mind that's spiritually awake like Christ's mind. We have a mind, in other words, that has spiritual aptitude. Here's the next thing I want us to look at. We must set our minds on the things of Christ. Look at Romans 8, verse 5. It says, for those who live according to the flesh think about the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit about the things of the Spirit. Now, I want to give you this illustration. I want you to think about this. When I talk about this, I don't want you to think about people robbing banks. I want you to think about a sweet little old lady who never looks up, the heavenly things, never thinks up. And for her, maybe to live is not Jesus, but for her to live is needles and yarn and friends. That's her whole life. Sweet lady, she never thinks of God. But the scripture says this woman lives according to the flesh. That's so sad, isn't it? All your life is needles and yarn and friends. It's so small. When I was growing up, like most of my thoughts were about sports and sports and sports and baseball cards, and then it became like girls. The sports were king. And you know what? Whatever's king in your life, Jesus can liberate you from that. Jesus can awaken you. And you will be amazed at how brilliant and how exciting the universe becomes. Jesus will give you life. I want you to see at the end of verse 5, it says, here's a defining characteristic of a Christian. A Christian is someone who sets their mind on things of the Spirit. Every one of them. If you're a Christian, you set your mind on the things of the Spirit. You say, I don't set my mind on the things of the Spirit. Well, then guess what? Maybe you're not a Christian. We live in a real world. Meals need to be cooked. Things need to be fixed. You have to study for tests. But your mind is set on the things of the Spirit of God. Verse 6 says, for the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. And let me give you two doors here. Here's Exhibit A, death. Nobody wants that door. Here's Exhibit B, life and peace. You're like, sign me up for that. That's where I want to be. Verse 7 says, for the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. It's unable to submit to God's law. Let's go back to the sweet little lady a second. She's knitting booties for her grandchild. And someone's like, isn't she sweet? God says, no, without me, she's really hostile toward me. She's hostile toward God. You say, well, I don't see anything hostile about her. She's just a sweet little old lady. Oh, yeah? Yesterday when she was knitting and things weren't working out, she began using my name in vain. Yesterday when things weren't working out, she threw her needle down and she says, God, if this is the way you make the world, I don't want any part of it. We didn't see that part. Verse 8 of Romans 8 says this, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The aptitude isn't there. See, when you and I become a Christian, something changes in your brain. Not physically, you can't measure it, but your eyes start turning upward. You're not focused on the things of earth so much. They're focused on heavenly things. So where does this bring us? We must be decisive in following Christ. I want you to see our key verse here, Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. In other words, take everything, Lord. God, I just want you to inhabit me. And then he says this, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, you and I, if we're Christians, need to have our mind renewed. You say, no, hold up, Brent. Hold up a second. I thought I had the mind of Christ. Why does my mind need to be renewed? Well, that's aptitude. Now you have to apply it. We have to apply our mind to be transformed. What does that look like? Well, if you're new here at First Baptist Church, we are really interested in Christians being alive and renewed in their minds. As opposed to lukewarm Christians, as opposed to sleepy Christians, we want Christians where the word of Christ is dwelling richly as we sing. As we sing, we're almost like jumping out of our bodies. That kind of Christian. James 1:8 says this, an indecisive man is unstable in all his ways. Can I give this simple illustration? Maybe you go to your wardrobe. Maybe you went this morning. You look in there and you're like, what am I going to wear in here? And you're looking around and you put a shirt on. And you go and you look at yourself in the mirror with this shirt and you say, I look pretty good in this shirt. You walk away from the mirror. You come back, look again. I don't look pretty good in this shirt. Take the shirt off, put another shirt. I look good in this. And then you come back. I don't look good in this. And you're doing this all the time. You're indecisive. What's James say? Don't be that kind of Christian. Don't say, I want to be on for Jesus, and now I'm not sure. I want to plant my flag with Jesus, now I'm not so sure. I want to grow in Jesus, now I'm not so sure. We want a whole church here of on fire, crazy Christians who want to serve, who want to love Jesus, who want to grow in Jesus. We don't want the sleepy kind. We don't want those who are always looking down. We want people looking up, looking to heaven, a transformed mind. Here's the last point for this morning. What does a transformed mind look like? What does it look like? First of all, it's a mind that thinks about Jesus. You've heard, I'm sure, the old cliche, you become what you think about the most. If you think about Jesus a lot, and you're always thinking about Jesus, guess what you're going to look like? You're going to look like Jesus. Hebrews 12:3 says this, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners about himself so that you won't grow weary and lose heart. When you feel like you're ready to give up, if you're looking to Jesus, guess what? You're not going to give up because he didn't give up. If you're ready to throw in the towel, if you're ready to give up on your marriage, if you're ready to give up on a relationship, to say this is too much, you're being persecuted at work for your faith, look to Jesus. He didn't give up. When people were pressing on him and coming down on him, he never gave up. Think about him. So a transformed mind is going to think about Jesus. But it's also a mind that thinks about others. Philippians 2:4 says everyone should look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. God wants to transform our minds in lots of ways. Maybe you have kids. The Bible says they're a gift from the Lord. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. The Bible tells me that I'm blessed to be able to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If you have kids, give yourself to it. Because guess what? You only get to do it once. Dive in. You only have one opportunity to model mommy and daddy what your kids are going to become. Give yourself to it. You have a wife. Are you thinking spiritually about her? The Bible tells you to love her as Christ loved the church. I mean, you're the man on the earth that makes her life full and joyful and rich, and she blesses the day she married you. You have a job. Scripture tells you, work heartily to the Lord, not to men. You have a Christian friend. How are you going to relate to that friend? Are you just going to keep talking about grandkids and shopping and sports? No, or do you want a spiritual component? Hebrews 3 says, exhort one another daily. Maybe you want to have a spiritual aspect of that friendship. Maybe you have a friend that's not a Christian. You have light. They need light. Maybe you say, give me opportunity and grace to get in there. See, there's all kinds of ways that our minds should be transformed in helping others. Who are you helping? Who's in your life that you need to help? You need to encourage. You need to exhort. You need to assist. You need to build up. Here's the last thing. It's a mind that thinks about eternity. We've all heard the saying, that person is so heavenly minded, they're what? No earthly good. Can I just say that's a bunch of baloney? Only the people who are heavenly minded actually do any good. Only those who are heavenly minded throughout history have done the most good for the earth. It's just not true. So many times our problem is we're so earthly minded, we're no heavenly good. Let me give you this verse, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there's any moral excellence, any praise, dwell on these things. What am I trying to say? Our minds, to be transformed, need to be thinking lots about Jesus, lots about others, and lots about eternity. Sometimes my mind goes all over the place. I get worried about things. I complain about things. My wife really helps me. Do you have a spouse that really helps you? Some of you guys need to be shaking your heads yes. You want lunch? Shake your head yes. All right? Sometimes my wife will say this to me, Brent, what does it really matter? What's it matter? It's like the Holy Spirit kicking me in the gut through my wife. And you know, what really matters is not a lot of things that we get upset about. What really matters are things about eternity. That really matters. Some people come in here, they don't look like us. They're like, well, I wish they looked like me. I wish they dressed like me. I wish they smelled like me. I wish they talked like me. Well, guess what? It doesn't really matter. What matters is eternity. What matters is seeing their soul come to faith in Jesus, seeing them grown in Jesus Christ. That's what really matters. So I want a church and be in a church and be part of a church where our minds are being transformed on things of Jesus and things of others and things of eternity. I want to close with this story. October 29th, 1994, story from Reuters, a Chinese woman named Zhang Mihuao began to suffer some symptoms when she turned 20. She was losing the ability to move her legs and arms. Doctors could not find the cause. The symptoms continued. 20 years passed. Zhang began to also suffer from chronic headaches. She sought help from doctors. They did a CAT scan. They did an X-ray. Then they found the source of her problem. There was a rusty pin that was lodged in her head. The head of the pin was outside of her skull, and the shaft had penetrated into her brain. Doctors performed surgery, and they successfully extracted the pin. And the doctors expressed amazement that the woman could live so long with a rusty pin stuck in her brain. And after noting the position of the pin in her skull, they speculated that the pin had entered her skull sometime soon after birth and before her skull had hardened. Now, this woman fully recovered, and she said this, interestingly enough, quote, I had no memory of being pierced by a pin in the head. Amazing, right? What's the point? Like the rusty pin in that woman's brain, when we have unwholesome thoughts, when we have bad attitudes, when we have painful memories, those kinds of things can lodge in our mind and cause chronic problems. But God comes along and he says this, I've come to transform your mind. You have the mind of Christ. I want you to think differently because you're in Jesus. I want you to think about me. I want you to think about others. I want you to think about eternity. So what's our prayer for you today? If you're not in Christ, we want you to come to Christ. We want you to give your life, your soul, everything in you, your all, to Jesus. That's where you need to start. And once you're in Jesus, He wants to renew your mind. He wants to change it. He wants you to think thoughts that are noble and just and pure. And our prayer is that that would happen to all of us.
Thanks for listening to the Messages podcast of First Baptist Church of Laurel, Maryland. Want to know more about us or get a hold of us? Go to our website, fbclaurel.com. You can also connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just use FBC Laurel. If you're in the Maryland, D.C., or Virginia area, you can join us at one of our services on Sunday at 8 a.m., 10:30 a.m., or noon in Spanish. We look forward to connecting with you.
The Messages.